Within the last few centuries, Germany, Denmark, Switzerland, France, and other Western European countries stabilized and then expanded their forested area by top-down measures, as did Japan. Examples of successful bottom-up management also abound. Among the numerous self-sustaining, small-scale rural societies in modern times, especially well-studied ones, include communities in Spain and in the Philippines maintaining irrigation systems, and Swiss alpine villages operating mixed farming and pastoral economies, in both cases for many centuries, and with detailed local agreements about managing communal resources. The question remains why some societies succeeded while other societies failed. Part of the explanation lies in environmental differences. Some environments are more fragile and pose more challenging problems than do others. But environmental differences aren't the whole explanation. Not only the environment, but also the proper choice of an economy to fit the environment is important. The remaining large piece of the puzzle involves whether, even for a particular type of economy, a society practices it sustainably. Regardless of the resources on which the economy rests, some societies evolve practices to avoid overexploitation, and other societies fail at that challenge. When my twin sons were 10 years old, and again when they were 15, my wife and I took them on family vacations to East Africa. Like many other tourists, the four of us were overwhelmed by our first-hand experience of Africa's famous large animals and landscapes. East Africa's people also overwhelmed us with their friendliness, warmth to our children, colorful clothes and their sheer numbers. To read in the abstract about the population explosion is one thing. It is quite another thing to encounter day after day lines of African children along the roadside, many of them about the same size and age as my sons, calling out to passing tourist vehicles for a pencil that they could use in school. The impact of those numbers of people on the landscape is visible. In pastures, the grass is sparse and grazed closely by herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. One sees fresh erosion gullies in whose bottoms run streams brown with mud washed down from the denuded pastures. All of those children add up to rates of human population growth in East Africa among the highest in the world. Recently, 4.1% per year in Kenya, resulting in the population doubling every 17 years. Population problems such as those of East Africa are often referred to as Malthusian, because in 1798, the English economist and demographer Thomas Malthus published a famous book in which he argued that human population growth would tend to outrun the growth of food production. That's because, Malthus reasoned, population growth proceeds exponentially, while food production increases only arithmetically. Hence, a population will tend to expand to consume all available food and never leave a surplus, unless population growth itself is halted by famine, war, or disease, or else by people making preventive choices, such as contraception or postponing marriage. The notion that we can promote human happiness merely by increasing food production without a simultaneous reining in of population growth is doomed to end in frustration, or so said Malthus. The validity of his pessimistic argument has been much debated, but modern Rwanda illustrates a case where Malthus's worst-case scenario does seem to have been right.